The mighty Niagara River plummets some 180 feet at the American and Horseshoe Falls. Before the falls, though, there are violent, turbulent rapids. Farther upstream, however, where the river's current flows more gently, boats are able to navigate, and just before the Welland River empties into the Niagara, a pedestrian walkway goes over the river. And there is a sign posted on this walkway, on this bridge, that reads the following two phrases that I want you to pay attention to. Do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? I want you to keep these phrases in mind. We're going to come back to them later. Do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? You know, it's easy to thank God when things are going well. Easy to thank God when things are going well. But it's a bit more challenging to thank and praise God when things are not going well, when we're suffering. In my opinion, there's three types of suffering in this world, and there may be more. But in my little mind, this is how I organize my world. Three types of suffering. We suffer as a consequence of our own sin. We suffer as a consequence of somebody else sinning against us. And we suffer as a consequence of this fallen world. And I just lump everything onto a disease and a famine and natural disasters and accidents. I just lump it all into this world is broken. Creation is groaning, waiting for its redemption. So even creation, as well as us, we are groaning, waiting for our redemption. And so we suffer. There's a harder aspect about suffering too, though, that there's something even harder about this. When you wait for an answer that never comes, it makes the suffering even harder than it is. In John chapter 11, there's 44 verses that would be awesome for you to read at home when you have time. It's the story of Lazarus, who was sick. Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, and he was sick, and his sisters sent word to the Lord and said, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. And Jesus, in his Jesus fashion, answers, this sickness is not to end in death, but it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. What does he mean by this? The one that he loves is sick, and he says, this sickness is not to end in death, but it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified. And then he waits two more days to go to where Lazarus was. Two more days? The one that he loves is sick, and he waits two more days when he could have healed him. He eventually goes, and by the time he gets there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Seems kind of cruel to me to wait and make somebody wait, knowing full well his disciples had seen him heal the sick. The lame had walked, and a blind man had just received his sight, and you wait two more days? Why would you make me wait? Waiting is so hard when the suffering and the wound is so deep. Have you ever waited more than 2 days, more than 4 days for your circumstance to change, for your anger to leave, for your wound to be healed, for your loneliness to be comforted? Have you waited and the Lord has not answered? Have you suffered? I'm pretty sure everybody here has suffered. I mean, if you haven't, you will. See, most would say that suffering is a result of following Christ. And I agree with that. But several years ago, I was challenged with this thought. And I like to take it a bit further than just suffering is a result of following Christ. I would say, and I agree, that suffering is the means by which Christ is glorified the most in our lives. And suffering is the means by which Christ is most visible in us to an unbelieving world. It doesn't make any sense. It seems upside down. It seems flipped out. It seems controversial to say that suffering is the means by which Christ is glorified the most, and the means by which this unbelieving world will see Christ in us. See, the world is watching when the church suffers. And somebody may look at my life and say, Christian, why would you thank God? Why would you thank God when this and this has happened? One of my favorite verses is Philippians 3:10. And it says, I want to know Christ. And I go, yes, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Oh, I want some of that power. I want to display it in my life. That sounds awesome. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. But then it says, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. The fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I'm not sure that I want a piece of that pie. Becoming like him in his death, obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so I really do agree that suffering is a means by which Christ is glorified the most. And it's not a morbid thought like God just wants us to suffer, but it is the way that God says, oh, my servant, Mama Flu, I know that if I allow suffering in her life, she's going to be a witness to the world. And some people might come to me, and I might come over here to Eldrick. I just met him today. He knows nothing about my story, but if I tell him my story, I think he may say, Inez, why would you thank God when your mom was killed in an airplane accident when you were 11? How could you praise God? And Eldrick might say, and the pilot of that plane was drunk. How could you forgive him? He ought to go to jail. He ought to get shot maybe. How could you thank God? And Eldrick might even say, how can you thank God when in your childlike faith you prayed for 3 days until they found her body? And for 3 days I knew that God could save her, but he didn't. What do you do when he doesn't answer your prayer? What do you do if he doesn't answer your prayer? How can you praise God? The world says to us, Christian church, how can you praise God? When for the first year after my mother died, my father was so depressed, he would come home from work and sleep and not eat and wake up the next day and go to work and sleep and not eat and wake up the next day. How can you praise God, Christian? Where was your God? And that wound in me made me feel unloved and abandoned. I wasn't unloved. I wasn't abandoned. My father was just not available. How can you praise God, Inez, and thank God for that? And I would say, Chipper, let me tell you how I can praise God. Let me just, with great weeping and gnashing of teeth, I have come to this conclusion about suffering, that Christ is most glorified in us. And when we suffer, we can show the world where this hope comes from. And so if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 10, this is how we know that our suffering and your suffering, my past suffering, and the future suffering that you will encounter is not in vain. Praise be to the God and Father. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And my other version says, in all our afflictions. I like that word. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with a comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, it sounds like we don't get a pass at this then. So also our comfort abounds through Christ. So the deeper the suffering, the deeper the comfort. Take heart that if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope, get this, our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters of Fellowship North, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, and how many of you come with that great pressure tonight? We were under great pressure, Paul says, far beyond our ability to endure. I cannot stand it any longer. Cannot stand it any longer. My pain runs so deep, I cannot stand it. Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. These are normal people. They're not holding back their emotions. They're normal people. They feel like they're going to die. In some of your wounds, you just feel like you're going to die. You just feel like they're going to die. But indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened. But this happened. Listen, church. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Amen? But on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. And on him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. On him we have set our hope. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. And he will deliver us on that day. So I go back to my little story of the boat and the anchor. And I ask you, do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? Hope is your anchor in the midst of suffering. Do you know how to use it? Because your suffering is not in vain. God is not just trying to squish you like you're some little ant. It is for a purpose. It is not in vain. It is to glorify God. It is to remind us that this world is not our home. This world is not our home, and our eyes ought to be set on our blessed hope. So if tonight somebody would ask me, how can you give thanks for your tragedy? I would say, my biggest tragedy has brought the biggest song of praise in my life. And let me tell you about my blessed hope. My blessed hope is not this world. He is coming back to get me. He is preparing a mansion of glory. It is a beautiful mansion. My mom is there. My grandmother is there. My nephew is there. They are waiting for me to come so that we can worship God forever. That is my blessed hope. That is my, teach this to your children. Don't let them forget. I had to learn this at 11, so it's never too early. So tell your children, who is their blessed hope? So I want you to think about your suffering right now, and I want you to close your eyes. And whatever heaviness is over you, whether it's suffering as a consequence of your own sin that you need to repent of or you've already repented from, whether it's a consequence of someone else sinning against you, let me tell you something. If somebody has abused you, that did not come from God. That came from sinful nature of man. But God in his mercy is a healer. His name is Healer, and his name is Faithful. And he can redeem your tragedy. He can even redeem abuse. Whether you're suffering because there's children that are wayward, whether your child is addicted, whether you have a marriage that is dry and loveless, if your spouse walked away, I don't know what suffering you have. Maybe there's too much month at the end of your paycheck. You could have just lost your job. Your future is uncertain. You don't know who you are. You don't know what your identity is in life. Maybe you just sinned this morning or last night. Whatever it is, let me tell you, your suffering is not in vain. Father, we come before you tonight and we declare that you are sitting on your throne and you are God and we are not. And so, Father, we desire for you to take these afflictions and make them the main ingredient of a song of praise to you. Father, take these afflictions and help them stir our affections towards you. Help us set our eyes on you. Help us set our eyes on this blessed hope, the one who is coming back, that we may have an eternal perspective that this world is not our home. We're not taking anything with us. Nothing in this world matters if it doesn't count towards your kingdom, Father. So, Father, help us look towards you and take these afflictions, Father, with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Take them and turn them into praise. Turn our mourning into dancing, Father. Help us show us, Father, where the enemy has come to bring strongholds into our lives where he just wants us to not praise you because he wants the praise. And Father, help our tragedy become a witness to the world of how faithful and holy and awesome and just and merciful you are. Our healer, you are our bridegroom, you are our husband, you are our maker, you are the lion of the tribe of Judah who fights our battles. We need to only be still. We need to only be still, Father. And gratitude is an outward expression that hope is our anchor. Do you have hope? Do you have an anchor? And do you know how to use it? Father, we praise and glorify your name, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you tonight. And Holy Spirit, we just give you reign in this place, that you would touch whoever needs to be touched, that you would open the eyes of the blind. Father, we wait for you, and we can't wait for you to come back. We long to see you. In Jesus' name.